Yes.
Good evening, sir.
God bless you.
My question is a question or advice. My question is, there is one sister that is getting married. After 1 year, the husband now bringing back home say that no conceive. So I want to advise, what the sister now do?
Wait. Praise the Lord. See, I am answering questions from believers. I cannot use Bible to solve unbelievers' problem. The Bible is for believers. And the Bible does not permit us to divorce. So if that man is a Christian, he will not divorce his wife. For because of fruit of the womb, it will be wrong. But should it happen, and now this sister is a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Now she's a Christian, and the man has dumped her and gone away to go and marry another woman, maybe somewhere. Certainly, she won't live in perpetual celibacy. She will have to marry because that man has broken the vow. When the vow is broken, it's no more her fault, it is his fault. So she is free to remarry if all other things, conditions are satisfied. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
So my question goes like this. This question I want to ask is bothering me too much. Well. So this person, I added it for the one pastor mouth. He's, as he's praying, so he's speaking some language, some certain word for language, about some demons.
Sopolos?
Yes.
Sukudus.
And Inkudus.
Sukudus.
So the way I now find it, I now go for Google. Now see it exactly what it's...
What is your question?
My question goes like this. That's this succubus. Is it because I know that it's a different spirit that manipulates a human being, this earth? So now read the book of Jeremiah 7 verse 16. Now find that his ego is a spirit. They are living in heaven. So now I want to know, is it a man or a woman?
You say, you are contradicting yourself. You say a spirit. Yes, then you are asking again, a man or a woman?
Yes, sir.
Man or woman is a human being. A spirit is a spirit. So what's your question?
Sir, the book of Jeremiah 7, verse 16, the way he didn't mention a man, he didn't mention a woman there. But if we go for the way the man is pronounced,
why are you so bothered about knowing about these spirits? How does it affect your salvation as a Christian? How does it help you in your Christian life? Because you look so worried over succubus and
incubus.
I don't know anything about those spirits. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Maybe you have to go to the Catholics and ask them. God bless you. Yes? There's a question on the screen. Shalom, church. Brother Moses, I would like to ask a question concerning the gift of prophecy. Can a prophet be a sinner and yet his gift is still intact? Because there is a young man who claims to be a major prophet in a TV station in this satellite, and his church is full of carnal worshippers and miracle seekers. My second question is, sir, William Branham said in one of his teachings that people bearing titles like Reverend, Doctor, Pope, and also are blasphemous titles, including the title Apostle. And from your teaching, sir, the office of an apostle is strictly for the disciples So does it mean that preachers like Apostle Johnson Suleiman, bearing the title Apostle, have sinned? Please, sir, God help you and your ministry as we shed more light on those two questions. Now, in the context that you are asking this question, you are pointing to that prophet as being a sinner because his church members are full of carnal people by your judgment. Now, the composition of the church is not the determinant of whether the pastor or the prophet is a saint or a sinner. If not, you will see some people in this church and use them and call me a sinner. So take note of that first. But general, there is a scripture, I think it's Psalm 68, verse 18. It said, "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also." He has received gifts for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. In the Bible, anointing is also referred to as rain. And Jesus Christ said, "Rain falls on the just and the unjust." Therefore, we don't use the gift to determine whether somebody is converted or not. Because the gift that God gives, He gives both to the just and the unjust. He gives also to the rebellious. Praise God. So that you will understand Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Like many of those prophets you watch on the television these days. "And then will I, Jesus, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity." God bless you. The second question. The titles that people bear. There are only 6 titles that God has given attached to offices for the work of the ministry. 6 offices. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the work, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the defining of the body of Christ." The next office is the office of the deacon. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. "Likewise must the deacons," that's an office, "be grave." And he gave all their qualifications. So these are the 6 offices. If you bear any other title other than any of these 6, apostle this, deacon this, evangelist this, pastor this, any other one, it has no biblical support. And some of them are truly blasphemous names. When a man takes upon the title of deity, you are equating yourself with divinity. You are equating yourself with God. The name of God alone is reverend. When a man says he is reverend, that's why William Branham called it blasphemous title. And then when somebody comes and says he is a bishop. Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read it again from verse 1. We see an office there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Bishop there is the terminology used for a leadership office in the church. And they are referring to any of the fivefold ministry. That is bishop. You are either a bishop, another word for it is elder, another word for it is shepherd, another word for it is pastor. In charge of a local assembly. Not a chieftaincy title that you grow and grow and grow into. As done in the denomination, it has no relevance to the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's why Will Abraham stressed it out that anyone bearing any of those titles, don't make it look as if he has attained some special position in the Church of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing like that. And he's saying that it's making reference to Apostle. It's not only Suleiman that is bearing apostle. Go to Saleh, the fool there. Saleh, fool there. Even in the entire message, you have them there. I try to let you people know that the office of the apostle, I have explained it several times, and nobody has so far come up to maybe correct me, because you can't fault it. If you notice, in that scripture and several other scriptures, the church of Jesus Christ is described as a house that is taken just likened to Solomon's temple that took 7 years to build. The temple of God is the church of Jesus Christ. It's also taking 7 church ages to build. And in that building, just like David got all the materials, and the materials were from all over the world. He prepared them. Every one of us here, our position in Christ has been determined from the foundation of the world. Oh, glory be to God. You will have problem in your ministry only when you go to try to go to where is not your call. But if you are serving God where God has called you, you fit into it, there will be no schism. In the building of Solomon's temple, for 7 years, say, there was no sound of chisel or hammer. For 7 years, they took time. The stones were already made down. When it reaches any stage, they will only look for the stone. Once they spot the stone, they carry it. It just fits in there. They look for another one. It comes in there, fits in there. And then we are skilled workmen. And you know, even today, in any big major building, there are some companies that all they specialize is in making foundation. Costain, if you know some of them. All they specialize, any big construction, their own, they specialize only in laying foundation. And this same, and that building, any other person that will come and build, you will only build upon that foundation. And the building of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, that temple of the Holy Ghost, the church, also has foundation builders. And those foundation builders are the apostolic ministry, upon which we have been building upon in the past 7 church ages. Apostle Paul said, anyone that preaches any other gospel contrary to what they have preached, let him be accursed. He said, no other foundation can any man lay than what has already been laid. You can't lay any other foundation. Praise the Lord. Therefore, because there can be no other foundation, no man can come in this age and now say he's an apostle. Because the apostolic ministry still exists now, but it exists in the Bible. For everyone who says God call you, you will only come to build, not to lay foundation again. The foundation already has been laid by the office. Therefore, all that we have now are prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. Together with the apostles, make the fivefold ministry. God bless you. So anybody that says it's an apostle, it's a misplacement of office. So including Apostle Johnson Suleiman, he should just stay as what said, because he is a prophet also, he's an apostle, and he's also a pastor. So it's confusion. It's a confusion. Confusion. One man cannot occupy all those offices. Lila, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So tell him to go and remain a prophet. And all of them, they tend to look at the apostolic office as very important. The highest one. That is why they are claiming that so that they will be looked upon as some highly placed people in the church. That is why they bear all that. But I'm sorry, you are occupying an office that God did not give you. And among the four other offices, the highest among them is the office of a pastor. It's the toughest among all of them. And so, if Apostle Johnson Suleiman is a prophet, then he should go and work under a pastor. He cannot pastor people and be a prophet. So he should answer Pastor Johnson Suleiman. And I am not demoting him. In actual sense, I am promoting him to the office of a pastor, because it's higher than a prophet. Prophet, evangelists, all serve under a pastor. So if I say Apostle Johnson Suleiman, take a position, I am promoting you to the office of a pastor. It's promotion. I'm not devotee. But the Pentecostal knowledge will look at it as if I'm insulting the man. And that's evidence too, that it is honor you are looking for, not service. God bless you. Yes?
Sir, what is the place of Matthias that replaced Judas Iscariot in heaven?
The place of Matthias that replaced Judas in the earthly ministry under the heaven, the position that Judas will have taken as the 12th apostle, he lost it for another to take his place according to the prophecy that was written.
So when he died, is he going to be among 24 elders or what?
He is going to be given a big crown, but among those 24 elders, he cannot be there. Because it's not among the 12 initially called by Jesus.
So the second question is taken from Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So I want you to shed more light on the gentleness and meekness there.
Meekness. The difference between meekness
and gentleness.
To my understanding, they are all English words. Why not go to the dictionary and find out? Have you gone to the dictionary and found out? There are two English words. But as far as spirituality is concerned, meekness has to do with humility. While gentleness has to do with comportment. I think that's all.
So the last question I want to know about the communion, the denomination I used to observe. Does that have to effect in the Bible?
That what?
The communion they used to.
The communion they have.
Yes.
I don't know the communion they have.
They used to take communion.
Like yes, every Christian is supposed to take communion. So what is the question about their communion?
Does that mean, no, Jesus Christ said, except eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life in me.
Yes.
And they too, they used to take it. Does that mean they don't have life in them, the life of Jesus Christ?
You said they take it.
Yes.
And you are saying, does it mean they don't have it? So your question is very confusing. If Jesus said, except you eat it, you will not have life. And now they eat it. So
I'm
it means
talking about being them having the Holy Ghost.
No, reframe your question again.
That is, you know, communion has to do when you take the eat the flesh of Jesus. Definitely, you have the life of Christ. You have the Spirit of God in you.
When you eat His flesh.
Yes.
So when you come on communion day, then you eat that bread. Then you have the life of Christ. Is that your understanding of that scripture? I'm going to eat bread every day.
No.
That is not what it means. What Jesus Christ was saying, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Eating there is digesting, understanding what his blood is offered for, what his body was offered for. Except you have that understanding, you digest it. Go back again to Matthew 16. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Upon this rock I build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. It is understanding, not eating bread. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, there's a question on the screen.
Hello.
From Carlos Ted Yakubu Ali. I believe totally that Judas did not go to hell if at all his name was in the book of life. Moses sinned at the end of his earthly journey, yet he met heaven because he and Elijah appeared to Jesus at the transfiguration. But my confusion is John 6:70. Can we read John 6:70? That's where he called him a devil, have you? Can we read it? Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Praise God. But he also called Peter Satan. Satan, get thee from away from me. Praise God. God bless you. Yes, next question.
Shalom, church. Sir, during the resurrection week, you were making us to believe that we were celebrating Passover.
Yep.
How I'm thinking that we are Christians and not Jews and our mosaic, and that we are not obligated to observing the ordinances of the Jews.
What is Passover?
Passover is the feast that is celebrated by the Jews.
Signifying what?
In connection with their exodus from Egypt.
Okay, can we just read one scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ is our Passover. What does that mean?
He was making the relationship with the Jews. That is
Christ came to fulfill all those ceremonies, isn't
yes.
it? So just as the Passover lamb made the firstborn to escape from the last plague that came on Egypt, the angel of death was going to pass through the land, and only those, the house that has the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the house, only that house, when they see that blood, the angel of death will pass over. So also, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish when? When the angel of death will pass through this earth. there is a blood of his lamb that was also shed. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That is why he is our Passover. Only those who apply that blood, this time in the door and lintels of the heart, that's talking about conversion, that the angel of death will pass over them. Therefore, what actually happened on the at Calvary was actually the slaughtering of the lamb as of our Passover lamb, as it was done in Egypt. That is why we celebrate the Passover.
Sir, here is my understanding of it. People pointed out that we are Christian, and what we are consensus is the Christ. And by no means shall the Christians become the Jews. Because
we are not Jews.
Then, if we are drawn, if we have been drawn to that, we are relating the death of Christ as a Passover, are we not being drawn to that very...
Certainly, me and you will have to talk. Because you want me to repeat over and over and over. If you don't catch the similitude, if you don't catch the shadow, the type fulfilled in Christ, and then you have to quarrel with Apostle Paul, who was telling us that Christ is our Passover. If it's our Passover lamb, then we should celebrate it. Nothing wrong with it.
Okay, sir. I have another question.
Yes.
I'm having a feeling for that man called Jephthah. Would it be that that man married after he sacrificed his daughter?
He did what?
Did he marry after the conquest of the...
What has Jephthah got to do, marrying another woman, got to do with the death of his daughter?
We are talking Bible. I think that is a Bible.
No. Go back. You can read that story again. He was not married to his daughter now.
No, he sacrificed. He offered. He said.
But what has he got with Jephthah marrying again?
No. What I'm asking is Jephthah, who had done the salvation of the Israeli that very time. How would it be that he would sacrifice his generation for that very conquest?
You are asking why?
Yes.
He made a vow. That's the reason. God bless you. Next. From River State, Brother Johnson, Shalom Church. So according to Hebrews 10:26-27, does it mean that the blood of Jesus will never be relevant for him who sinned willfully and later decided to repent from it? You cannot crucify Jesus Christ afresh. If you read that scripture down, he ended it by saying it will be looked at as a dog going back to his vomit. That means he was not converted at all. That is the meaning. God bless you.
Good evening.
Yes.
We all know that as Christians, that no member of the body of Christ is supposed to be dormant. I want to ask, if for any reason an elect does not use his gift, is there any penalty?
Sure. In Luke chapter 19, there is a reward. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with it. The manifestation of the Spirit is the gift that God has given you. That is the talent we see in Matthew 25 or Luke 19. And he will come back and he will demand. That is exactly what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 was saying, for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ there is after the rapture for our reward. And he will reward us for what we did with the talent that he has given us. So some will be given, depending on how you gain, 10 cities. The fact that cities are mentioned, that lets you know it is in the millennium. So it simply means if you did not use it, you will have no authority. That is it.
Okay, thanks, sir.
God bless you. On the screen again. Shalom, sir. From who? Gloria, Cameroon. If God is one, why did the Bible say, come, let us make man in our image, after our likeness? Who is that us? Praise the Lord. Let us make man in our image. It's not only in creation. When he was also going to Tower of Babel, he also used the word, let us. Praise the Lord. When he was going to Sodom and Gomorrah, he also used, let us. Listen, church, before man was created, angels were already created. God already has his angelic family. And everything he does it by those angels. So God was talking with his angelic family. God bless you. God is one, and he will share his glory with no man. Yes, please.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
So, I'm happy to be in your midst today. This is my first time of coming here. I came from Ebonyi State.
You're welcome.
You have been one of the online members.
You are welcome.
Thank you, sir. So the problem that has been bothering myself that I will ask whenever I reach here is, in our church, Assemblies of God, we always believe that going to other churches is not good, because when you go there, you don't know which other, we don't know which of them is all this invitation, that are having invitation pastors or prophets. So, the problem
which
I
have... Which of them is what?
Having all this invitation... prophet, that is the prophesy that you are this and that. That is why they say we should not go to other churches. But as we watch all this in, I am convinced that this church is not all this Magomago church.
Clap your hands now. Some good commendation.
So, the area I'm convinced is, like our side, we don't have this end time message church. The question I want to ask over there is, if someone who have seen this truth wants to marry and there is no end time message within that side, because that our church, before we married, they will call this name, the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. While in me, I have been confused that there is nothing like that. So, what shall I do in that situation?
I can see you are more worried about marriage than eternal life.
Why I'm asking like this is, because now, at the end, I will be rebaptized. But what about the other side?
What of the other side?
The side of that marriage. Because somebody have married and they asked me, if you say that if you go there, you will be baptized. What of those that were unable to rebaptize? I mean, what of those that have married in the name of the Father and the Son? As if I go there, I will be baptized on this. What are they going to do?
Listen.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Marriage has nothing to do with salvation.
Okay.
The important thing is, may they give you your wife. Okay. If they like, may they say Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Okay.
What makes that woman your wife is not the pronouncement in Jesus' name. What makes that woman your wife is that you have paid her dowry. If you have not paid her dowry, even if they come and join in the name of Jesus, you are not married. So, go and get your wife and marry. Don't waste time. Whichever way they want to have. Make sure you love your wife and make sure that the two of you live, you know, a godly life. So, because you are in Assemblies of God and you are hearing some things from us that is confusing you. The reason why God raised this ministry. You have not caught it yet. The day you catch it, you will not only be talking about marriage, you will be talking about your eternal destination. And you will do what you are supposed to do, what the message tells you to do. What does the message say? Say it again. Now you talk, and what does it say? Thank you.